Welcome to The Partial Historians.
We explore all the details of ancient Rome.
Everything from the political scandals, the love affairs, the battles waged, and when citizens turn against each other. I'm Dr. Rad.
And I'm Dr. G. We consider Rome as the Romans saw it, by reading different authors from the ancient past and comparing their stories.
Join us as we trace the journey of Rome from the founding of the city. Welcome to the partial recap for the 440s BCE.
I'm Dr. G.
And I'm Dr. Rad.
And this is our highlights edition of the 440s in Rome. We'll take you through from 449 to 440 in an epitome of our normal episodes.
Perfect for those mornings when you don't want some lengthy rhetoric with your coffee. But please be warned, this episode contains references to murder, violence, and sexual assault.
Get ready for a re-cappuccino.
BCE. It's hard to believe, but when the 440s dawned, Rome was still in the grip of the Second Decemvirate. Quelle horreur! 449 BCE was simply jam-packed with developments. It's almost too much to believe, so we have no time to waste. The days of the Decemvirate were numbered. On top of the threat of external enemies, these guys really know how to get their fellow Romans offside. The Decemvirs arrange the murder of the highly popular plebeian Lucius Siccius Dentatus. I know. He's been speaking out against them far too much, but he's too highly regarded to kill outright. His death is staged carefully so that it does not arouse suspicion. Pretty awful stuff, but that's nothing compared to their next act. One of the most prominent Decemvirs, the uber-patrician Appius Claudius, is seized with desire for a plebeian maiden, Virginia. He tries all sorts of legal tricks to get his paws on her, and it seems like he might succeed in spite of strenuous opposition from her family. In desperation to protect his daughter's virginity, and by extension his family's honour, her father ends up seizing a nearby knife and stabbing her to death in the forum. Virginia's body is displayed to the crowd, a horrible symbol of the excesses of the Second Decemvirate. The plebeians are outraged, and this time they are not alone. Some of the patricians aren't that impressed with this tyrannical regime either. Patricians Valerius and Horatius start standing up to Appius Claudius and his gang of decemvirs. Meanwhile, Virginius has fled Rome after murdering his daughter. He makes contact with some of Rome's armed forces and convinces them to revolt against the decemvirs. A secession of the plebs quickly follows. The plebeians gave the Senate an ultimatum. It's the decemvirs or us! Thanks to some skillful negotiation between Valerius and Horatius, the plebs return to the state and the decemvirs resign. The consulship is restored and given to Valerius and Horatius. This dynamic duo passed the Valerio-Horatian laws, which restored the sacrosanctity of the tribunes of the plebs, restored the right of citizens to appeal, and made the decisions of plebeians binding on all Romans. And there's some vengeance to be sought against the decemvirs now that they are back on the same level as everyone else. The biggest fish to fry? Well, that would be Appius Claudius, who is pursued by the new tribune of the plebs, Virginius. But before he is officially condemned, he dies in custody under extremely shady circumstances. It seems like some of those tribunes might be getting big ideas.
BCE. From the incredible detail of 449 BCE, we turn to the blankness of 448. In 448, the consuls were Lars, or Spurius, Herminius Cortinasanus, and Titus Virginius Tricostus Caleomontanus. Hannah Montana ain't got nothing on these two. Weirdly, some of the plebeian tribunes were patrician ex-consuls. Understandably, not everyone is thrilled by this development, and so a fellow tribune, Lucius Trebonius, fights to preserve the integrity of tribune elections.
447 BCE. In 447 BCE, the consuls were Marcus Gaganius Macarinus and Caius Iulius. They appeased the plebs by suspending a levy for a war against the Volscians and Aquians. Unfortunately, the young patricians start acting out again and committing acts of violence against the plebs and even the tribunes themselves. No one seemed to be able to keep them in check, or at least no one with power that invested in keeping them in check.
BCE. In 446, the consuls were Titus, Quintius Capitolinus Barbatus, and Agrippa Furius. The Romans were facing a combined force of Aquians and the Volscians, who could smell their internal issues from just a few miles away, and because they were pretty close. Riding high on their recent victory, the Romans are called in to settle a border dispute between the cities of Aricia and Ardea. The people make the terrible decision to take the land for themselves.
And in 445 BCE, their greed is causing problems in Ardea, where revolt has broken out. The consuls for the year were Marcus Ganucius Augurinus and Caius Curtius Philo. Not only were these men facing revolt in Ardea, but attack from the Vientes, Aquians, and Volscians. However, the plebeians, led by the tribune Caius Canuleius, refused to fight unless one of the laws passed by the second decemvirate was overturned. This law had forbidden intermarriage between patricians and plebeians. They also demanded a share in the consulship. The horror felt by the patricians at this suggestion cannot be described. After a lot of angst, a compromise is reached. The marriage law will be overturned, and a new position was introduced: military tribunes with consular power.
BCE. In 444, the military tribunes with consular power are Aulus Sempronius Atratinus, Lucius Attilus Luscus, and Titus Cloelius Siculus. Unfortunately, it seems there were some issues with the auspices surrounding their inauguration, and so an interrex was called in to sort out the situation, Titus Quintius Barbatus, everyone's favourite chap. They were soon replaced with actual consuls, Lucius Papirius Mugellanus and Lucius Sempronius Atratinus. Ardean ambassadors arrive at Rome.
In 443 BCE, the consuls were Marcus Gaganius Macarinus and Titus Quintius Capitolinus Barbatus. It was time for a census, except that the consuls were less than thrilled with the prospect of all that paperwork and administration. This led to the creation of the Office of the Censor and the selection of Lucius Papirius Mugellanus and Lucius Sempronius Atratinus to oversee the work. Their bureaucratic glory was overshadowed by the eruption of civil war in Ardea. A family disagreement over the marriage of a hot plebeian girl quickly exploded into a hot Ardean mess. Only Rome could save them now. Hello, sweet atonement.
Four 442 BCE. In 442, the consuls were Marcus Fabius Vibulanus and Postumus Abutius Helva Cornican. Still trying to atone for their greed over the Ardean land grab, the Romans send out the Triumviri Coloniae Decucendae, or three guys to set up a colony. The sneaky plan is to give land to this colony back to the native people before any Romans received a blade of grass. Peace! Peace at last!
In 441 BCE, the consuls were Gaius Furius, Paculus Fusus, and Marcus Papirius Crassus. What better way to finish off the decade than with some games that were promised a decade ago by the Decemvirs? Poetellius, one of the tribunes of the plebs, tried his darndest to get the plebeians some land or something, but he had no luck.
BCE. In 440, the consuls were Proculus Gaganus and Lucius Menenius Lanatus. And sadly, the decade did not finish well for Rome. A terrible famine hit, and the patricians and plebs quickly turned on each other. Lucius Minucius was elected prefect of the corn supply, but did not have a huge amount of success. It seemed like the situation got real dark real quick. Desperate times called for desperate measures. An equestrian named Spurius Maelius used his personal fortune to buy corn from Etruria and distribute it for nothing, making him very popular with the plebs. Maelius let all this go to his head and started plotting to become king. How weird to begin and end the decade with schemes for the ultimate domination of Rome.
That was the 440s in ancient Rome. Or was it?
Remember, this is just the highlights from the ancient sources. So if you want to delve into the complexities of the different evidence for this period, check out our narrative episodes.
Thanks for joining us for this partial recap.
Thank you for listening to this partial recap from The Partial Historians. And of course, we'd like to send a special thank you to all of our Patreons who support the show and make these sorts of bonus episodes possible. Until next time, we are yours in ancient Rome.